Welcome to Prevention Matters. I'm Corinne Houston, Interim President of Partnership for Prevention. We're a nonprofit organization of leaders from the business, healthcare, and government communities who are dedicated to making disease prevention and health promotion a national priority. Each week, we'll be talking with some of the key players in the world of prevention and health policy. Today, we're talking with Paul Billings, Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy at the American Lung Association. Paul recently teamed up with Partnership for Prevention to give a briefing to congressional staffers about recent developments affecting tobacco cessation programs. Tobacco is still the leading preventable cause of death in the United States today, but we may have some real opportunities to make substantial progress in changing that, and we're going to explore those factors today. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
The federal excise tax was recently raised to $1.01 and took effect on April 1st. And when the law was debated in Congress, many in the public health community believed the increase would result in tobacco users deciding to quit. Are we beginning to see any impact from the tax increase?
We sure are seeing an impact. Quit lines around the country are literally being overwhelmed by calls by smokers wanting to quit smoking and looking for help to quit smoking. Call volumes have doubled on many of the quit lines. We've seen a substantial increase in calls to the American Lung Association quit line. In fact, in Michigan, they had 92,000 calls last month and really overwhelmed their system. So we are seeing a dramatic increase across the country in smokers trying to quit, and certainly the tobacco tax increase has really prompted this action. So it's very encouraging.
So is price alone the reason people are making these attempts, or are there other factors that are going on right now that might be influencing their decision to try to quit?
Price certainly is a factor that prompts smokers to want to quit, but there are also many other factors that help encourage smokers to quit. States going smoke-free with smoke-free workplace laws certainly makes smoking less available to smokers and helps denormalize the behavior and encourages smokers to try to quit. There's also, in many states, counter-marketing, advertising campaigns geared to helping smokers quit and prompting smokers to try to quit. So it really takes a comprehensive approach, and I think all of these factors play in, but certainly I think that we tie this dramatic uptick in cessation attempts and calls to quit lines and other services to the price increase.
When you mentioned media campaigns, can you tell me a little bit about the effectiveness of media campaigns and what are the types of messages that seem to be particularly effective?
Well, we know that media campaigns really can help to encourage smokers to try to quit, and there's a variety of different messages that work. They can be messages that help smokers go through the quitting process. There can be messages that help give smokers reasons to quit or to try to quit again. And there can also be campaigns that combine the messages of healthier living, aspirations for a healthier lifestyle, and campaigns that also indicate some of the horrific consequences of smoking. Also, campaigns that can also show how the tobacco companies have manipulated the product have been shown to encourage smokers to think again about quitting.
Well, certainly we know that the Surgeon General has said in the past that smoking cessation has major and immediate health benefits for men and women of all ages, but can you give a little more detail to that and help us understand the benefits of quitting?
Quitting smoking is probably the single most important thing a smoker can do to improve their health status. We know that tobacco use harms virtually every organ and system in the body. And so by quitting, one can really dramatically reduce their risk for chronic disease and adverse health outcomes, heart disease, lung disease, cancer. A wide range of diseases are linked to tobacco or conditions are exacerbated by tobacco use. We know that almost immediately we see the health benefits with heart rates dropping 20 minutes after a smoker quits. Out through their whole lifetime, as lifetime risk for cancer and other diseases drop as the individual ages and has been smoke-free.
So we know that quitting, helps the smoker, but what about other positive impacts, for example, others in the household or children?
Certainly, exposure to secondhand smoke is linked with a wide range of adverse health consequences, particularly among children. Secondhand smoke exacerbates asthma, is linked to a wide range of health impacts like ear infections, and also linked to sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS. So stopping the exposure of secondhand smoke to children and family members improves the health of those individuals. And it also helps kids who they no longer see smoking behavior modeled for them by their parents. If their parents quit and kids grow up in households where people don't smoke, they're less likely to smoke as well.
That's good news. Well, you know, presumably smokers know that smoking's bad for them. You know, why don't they just quit? What makes it so hard?
Nicotine is extremely addictive, and the tobacco companies have worked very hard to manipulate the product to make it more difficult for smokers to quit. So smokers need help, and many smokers have tried to quit before and have attempted to quit cold turkey, and they have not been successful. We know that it takes 7 to 10 times for many smokers to quit. Smokers need to avail themselves to the services and medications that are available to them to have a successful quit attempt, to help break that cycle of addiction. So we want to make sure that smokers have access to counseling and to the 7 approved FDA-approved medications that all can help a smoker be successful when they're trying to quit and break that cycle of nicotine addiction.
Well, we're hearing that members of Congress are getting 2 different messages from their constituents. One is, well, why did the tax go up? But the second is, where can people go to get help? So what did the American Lung Association tell the congressional staff today in the briefing to help them answer those questions?
Well, I think that there's a very good reason why the tax went up. It goes to pay for children's health insurance program provide health care to children. And also, the tax went up, it's going to help encourage smokers to quit. And what we're telling members of Congress now is that there are services available to help people quit in their communities. There's the quit lines in every community. If you dial 1-800-QUIT-NOW, you can access a quit line that will provide you with smoking cessation support. The American Lung Association and other voluntary health agencies provide tobacco cessation assistance through our websites, community-based clinics, and online. We also told members of Congress about some data that we've gathered on state Medicaid coverage for cessation. Each state has a Medicaid plan that is different, and while there's a generous match of federal dollars for cessation coverage, most states do not provide adequate coverage, and in fact, 6 states provide no coverage for Medicaid patients for cessation. So what we're trying to do is encourage members of Congress to inform their constituents about what is available in their community, but also encourage members of Congress to increase that level of coverage to provide more assistance for smokers that do want to quit.
So in general, are you satisfied with the progress we've been making in making treatments available to tobacco users, or are there things we still need to do?
There's much more that needs to be done. We still have 1 in 5 adults in this country who are addicted smokers. 70% of them tell us that they want to quit, but yet they do not have the tools and services available to them to make that quit attempt successful. So Congress must do more to provide assistance to help those quit, to ensure that they have access to the counseling and to the proven effective medications to ensure a successful quit attempt. Will pay great dividends to the individual smoker immediately and pay dividends to society at large as we reduce the tremendous health burden of tobacco addiction and the disease and death that results from it.
And you mentioned Medicaid programs and the gaps in coverage there, so that's clearly one place where Congress could act. Do you have any other recommendations?
Well, certainly more resources could be brought to bear on funding programs like these quit lines. Prevention and wellness is a big part of the national debate about healthcare reform, and certainly would like to see cessation services covered as part of a healthcare reform. There's also money in the stimulus package for prevention and wellness, and we would like to see some of those dollars invested in tobacco cessation as well. So we need a multi-pronged approach, and we need to make sure that in every corner of this country there is an opportunity to help smokers quit when they want to quit.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Paul. Our guest has been Paul Billings, and you can read more about his organization's work at www.lungusa.org. You can also go to Partnership for Prevention's website at www.prevent.org to see the video of our recent congressional briefing. I'm Corinne Houston for Partnership for Prevention, wishing you a good day and reminding you that prevention matters.